It is good to be here. It is good to be here. People ask me, well, the world, are you going to Toronto? And, of course, people in Ottawa and the people at Fourth Avenue worry when I go to any church. And I assure you and them that I am not here to candidate. One of the wonderful things about not having to worry about that is that I get to say whatever I want, and the only thing you can do is not invite me back. I am glad to be here. Orville is the very dear friend of someone. Every pastor has two or three people in their church, believe it or not, that we would do this for free. And Orville's friend, Ewart and Merle Walters, are those kinds of people. So on behalf of the Fourth Avenue Baptist Church, its members and leaders, I say happy Sunday. It's good to be here and to celebrate what God has to say. There is a word from the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to be before any of God's people in any place that you have designated as holy. Make this place and this time consecrated to be all that you want it to be. Open ears, stop noises, stop hearts, stop whatever needs to be stopped in us, and then push us and propel us to where we need to go and how we need to respond. Amen. Pharaoh built the pyramids, reaching to the sky. Needed lots of slaves, he did, to make them stand so high. Working days and toiling nights, all pain, no hope, no joy in sight. Let my people go. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh built cities on unsurrendered Algonquin land, denied Mi'kmaq access to education, ripped Inuit children from their homes, and continued to rape and kill Cree women. Let my people go. Pharaoh constructed railroads with immigrant hands, relegated them to ghettos and tenement housings, told them their PhDs and their PEs don't count, left them to survive and thrive in the true North. Let my people go. Blacks brought here by Pharaoh, more enslaved than free, told free men their dark skin made them unworthy, buried accomplishments, denied successes. Now he cards our boys and harasses the educated. Let my people go. Is a headscarf so scary? Is the music offending? Does the thought of hands raised high in the air scare? No more will we suffer and die silently. Let my people go. Go down, Moses. Way down in Egypt land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. The Exodus story is about a ragtag group of enslaved persons who were emancipated from one of the most mighty empires of the ancient world, rivaled only in strength by the Hittite, the Assyrian, and the Mitanni empires. The story has been the motivation, the backdrop, the lamplight of oppressed people for thousands of years. Written down first by God's people living in captivity in Babylon in the 6th century before Christ, inspiring English Puritans in their battle against an overbearing king in the 17th century, sparking the imagination of the United States founding fathers in the design of their great seal in the 18th century, and becoming the song of freedom on the lips of African Americans enslaved and plantations in the Deep South in the 19th century. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, if you are a reader, is one of the most incredible Hebrew scholars of our day. And in his book, Exodus, the Book of Redemption, he says something absolutely too beautiful to paraphrase. No story has been more influential in shaping the inner landscape of liberty, teaching successive generations that oppression is not inevitable, that it is not written into the fabric of history. There can be another place, another kind of society, a different way of living. What happened once can happen again for those who have faith in God, who have faith in humankind. The God of freedom calls us to be free. This story has been a roadmap, a lesson plan, a clarion call for those persons victimized by an oppressive system. God, who is the champion of the poor, God is the one who liberates the enslaved from the pharaohs of this world. Pharaoh, who continues to enslave people in order to amass influence and power. You see, my brothers and sisters, Pharaoh is driven by political motives, not hate. And the Exodus story is a critique of the politics of power, empire, hierarchical societies, and the divisions of populations in free human beings and slaves. It was in a letter to the Bishop of England, Bishop Mandell Creighton, in 1887, where Lord Acton summed up this critique of the political system in his famous dictum, "All power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." It was true in ancient Egypt, it was true in England, and it is true today. But sadly, many of God's people do not know they are slaves. And the business of the church is growing the kingdom, and it is difficult, but not impossible, to grow God's kingdom with slaves. Harriet Tubman, she knew a little bit about that. Harriet Tubman was born enslaved on a plantation in northern Maryland and suffered cruelly at the hands of slaveholders. She would say later, "Slavery is the next thing to hell." A woman of deep faith, Harriet Tubman freed her own self.
in 1849. But because of the U.S. Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, she made the last stop on the Underground Railroad system in St. Catharines, Ontario. Moses Tubman. She's famous for declaring, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed another 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves." Enslavement, like consumer debt, the yoke, the binders, the weight of believing that a nicer house, a better or new phone will make us happy and prove our worth. According to Statistics Canada, in the third quarter of 2015, household debt reached 171% of disposable income. In other words, every $100 that you had in your household, you had a debt obligation of $171. Or maybe the enslavement of finding that 41% of Canadians have no employment pension and even fewer younger workers have the same. And to make matters worse, 20% of middle income earners in Canada do not have any more savings than to supplement their retirement income, but for 5 years. This means that every decade, another group of seniors will slip into poverty. The promises from Pharaoh of RRSPs and TFS have not solved the retirement saving crisis. Have I gotten to you yet? In my tradition, if you can't say amen, at least say ouch. God says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And when the oppressed cry out, God will surely hear. Not just once. God's hearing the cries of the oppressed is an ongoing divine event. God relates to the oppressed, whoever they may be. And God is not powerless, impotent in the face of this suffering. Oh, no, 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 no. God promised to take the side of the oppressed. God moves in to deliver, working in and through the leaders, even Pharaoh. Now let's make this really clear. Moses was a leader of God's own making. God called Moses during one of the most oppressive times in the history of God's people to make a difference. Imagine, for Moses, the day began like any other, shepherding his father's flock of sheep. The mountain, though, that Moses selected was the mountain of God. You just gotta love it. And God got this new leader's attention with an ordinary bush. It was an ordinary bush consumed with extraordinary power, God's power. Therefore, what began as just an ordinary day turned out to be the start of something new. The old life ended and the new life began. As for the Moseses of our day, we are called to turn aside and witness the extraordinary events that will change our hearts and our lives. Whether it's the gunning down of a teenager on a TTC trolley A young man armed only with a knife, a small knife at that. Or the sadness caused by watching Peter slowly walk away from 27 years on the Toronto Police Service for being too smart, too progressive, and may I add, probably too black for his own good. Or maybe the event will be something that comes on more slowly, something more subtle, like the number of killed and missing First Nation women growing to over 1,200 in 10 years. Whatever the event or events, we are called to be free and to free. God granted the Israelites freedom by divine intervention, but freedom, real freedom, is sustained by our own efforts. Rabbi Sacks would say, it is not what God does for us, but what we do for God that changes us. My brothers and sisters, the path to freedom is traveled one step, one generation, one era at a time, never losing heart or forgetting our aim. Freedom happens when men and women, boys and girls who are touched by God, relinquish their fetters and have the courage to begin traveling the long road to freedom. The pharaohs of this world have evil designs to enslave and to destroy. But God's plan promises salvation. And this act of salvation is more than being removed from oppression. It also has a gift. It has a gift of land, a place of life and of blessing for God's deliverance. God's deliverance is more than moving us from something. It's about enabling people to move from and to redemption, to creation. About participating in a world where there's fresh water and clean air. About a society where people are treated equally and with respect. About a world consumed with living in peace and no longer focused on war. We are the ones called my people. God calls us my people. Long before the first plague, the pillar of fire, the water standing up at the Nile, years before the tablets of stone, God chose you. The divine election was promised on a holy mountain to Abraham and all of Abraham's seed. It's rooted, this promise, this election, in the relationship of God to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people.